We're thankful that you're here this morning. If you do not normally come to Bible class on Sunday morning, let me encourage you to seriously consider next Sunday morning coming an hour early and being involved in one of our classes. You will notice that the difference between Bible study attendance and worship is somewhat less than it used to be, which indicates that more are coming to Bible class, and we're thankful for that. But we're just especially grateful that you are here this morning at this service. I want to just say a word of thanks to the congregation for the response to the special contribution last Sunday. You'll notice that it was almost $22,000. And we have prepared a bulletin board over to my left that has pictures on it showing the developing stages of the building and also a graph there showing the monies in and what has been committed and so forth. And you may want to take a moment to look at that. But we do appreciate the response to the giving last Sunday. Friday and Saturday of this week will be the homecoming time at Fried Hardeman. Because of that, we will have numerous visitors in our midst, on campus, on the streets, and in our services next Sunday. Let's do everything that we can to make them welcome, to know that we are glad that they are in our midst. The theme for the homecoming this year is Celebrate Me Home. I'm not for sure who constructed that sentence, but I am for sure the idea that's involved, the idea of celebration, bringing people back home, returning home, and being able to celebrate about that. Because of that theme, we have decided to use that as a general theme for all the sermons in the month of November. Beginning this morning, for the month of November, these are the sermons that are planned. Celebration, Alive Again. Celebration at Death. What a Celebration, dealing with heaven. Celebrating God's love, celebrating the Lord's Day, celebrating special days, celebrating our blessings, and celebration in the midst of trials. And I would strongly urge you to try to be present at every service that you can be. We urge those of you that are here this morning to be back tonight. It just seems to me that Christian people would want to come together every time they can, unless there is something beyond their control, to worship God and to study His Word and to be together. And we urge you to be back this evening, if you possibly can, for the evening service. The evening service will be a little bit different tonight. We're going to be discussing the subject of celebrating death. You don't normally think of that subject when you're talking about celebration. And we're going to use several songs in the service tonight. I think it would be very helpful to you to be here tonight to worship God. Now for the lesson of the morning. Celebration, Alive Again. I doubt that there's anyone in here who is able to know what's going on, but who is aware of what has happened in Union, South Carolina during the last few days. I suppose that there are few of us who have failed to shed some tears over the sad situation that developed with those two little boys. And certainly a city is mourning today, and in a sense an entire country is mourning. But can you imagine what a celebration there would have been if those two little boys had been found alive and were back at home this morning? Another story that has been shown on the television screen in the last few days is the story of the young man, I believe about 17 years old, who has cancer and who left a note and left home saying that he just couldn't go through any more of the treatment and that he just wanted to get away from everybody. There's been a great deal of concern about that young man. As I understand it from what I heard last night, he at least has called home and there's been some connection and maybe some indication that he will return home. Can you imagine what a celebration there will be when he does? And those parents who've wondered about his welfare and his physical well-being for the last few days, and even his doctor who is so concerned, can you imagine what a celebration there will be? A few months ago, maybe a year or so ago, I don't remember the timing now, there was a youngster lost in the Great Smoky Mountains. For several days, there was a great deal of concern, and in that case, the end result was good. The young man was found. What a celebration. Celebrating something that is great in the sense of one returning home. But as I sat this week so many times and watched the news about what was happening in Union, South Carolina, I thought about those that are lost spiritually. Here were two little boys, somebody's children, that were lost, and the entire country was concerned. And yet sometimes when God's children go astray, even those of us in the church are not as concerned as we ought to be. And if there is such a celebration when a child is found and comes home into the physical home, how much more should there be celebration when God's children are found and come home? Alive again. In Luke, the 15th chapter, you're well aware that there are three stories that deal with this subject. These stories have been discussed in our midst recently, especially during our area-wide meeting. Many lessons were brought from them. But I want us to look at another angle this morning, first in verse 6, then verse 9, verse 24, and verse 32. Verse 6, in the story of the lost sheep that is found, the Bible says, "When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Folks, there was a call for a celebration. In verse 9, in the story of the lost coin, "And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." They had a celebration, because that which had been lost was now found. In the 24th verse, in the story of what we call the prodigal son, "For this my son was dead and is alive again." And I especially underscore those two words, alive again. "This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. They celebrated. Verse 32. "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." I think sometimes we may overlook this part of these stories. We concern ourselves about who was lost and the circumstances of the lost, and rightly so, and we will even mention that later in the lesson this morning. We talk about so many things from these lessons, the different types of individuals that are suggested, and so many wonderful lessons are brought from these passages. The lesson of the father and his attitude is such a wonderful one. The concern about the elder brother is certainly a needed one. But have we really stopped to think about the celebration that's involved when these that were lost were found? Notice some of the words that are used in this chapter. The word joy. "Come rejoice with me, for I found my sheep. Come rejoice with me, for I have found the peace that I had lost." The idea of joy in the heart. I suppose that those who have lost a child and have found that child safely know the feeling of joy in a way that most of us do not know. And yet there ought to be times that all of us know the feeling of joy, and that we have the attitude of rejoicing when God's children come home, when there is a celebration in that sense. I look forward Friday and Saturday of this week of seeing people that I've not seen in a while. There may very likely be those who will be present in the homecoming at Freed Hardeman that I've not seen for years, and I look forward to seeing those. There may be some who've not been back for a while who will come for this celebration, and it will be a celebration of coming home. Those who have been involved in the past in different ways with one another, coming home, what a celebration. But there ought to be even more of a feeling of joy when one of God's children comes home. And when one who has strayed away from his rightful place and his rightful relationship to the family of God returns home, the idea is that there ought to be joy in the hearts of the people involved. The word merry is used in this chapter that also suggests the idea of a celebration. Particularly in the case of the prodigal son, the father says, "Let's be merry." You and I understand that word. We probably will remember it a bit more within the next 4 to 7 weeks as we come to that particular season of the year that we call Christmas, and we wish each one a merry Christmas. We're talking about an attitude of gladness. an attitude that has to do with rejoicing, feeling good, being able to fill our hearts with good feelings. And this word is used here in this chapter in connection with the prodigals coming home. There is to be a celebration. There is to be merrymaking when that takes place. There is also the indication, particularly in the case of the prodigal son, that there is to be a party with food and enjoying eating together. The father said, "Go and kill the calf." The one that we've been feeding and now is called the fatted calf. Go and kill it. And notice he says, "Let us kill that and be merry. Let's eat together and let's enjoy that and let's enjoy the food together." There are certainly some parties that get out of hand. There are things that are associated with some parties that are not good. And for that reason, sometimes we have a tendency to criticize party making, but having a party is not bad. And if people can have a party for a bad reason, then people ought to be able to have a party for a good reason. I take a lot of kidding about eating. But I am convinced, not only in this passage, but in many passages in God's Word, that the Word of God shows us how happy we ought to be to get together and to eat with one another and enjoy one another's company in situations of that kind. And particularly here, the situation is that the one who was dead is alive again. This son that had not treated his father exactly right, he certainly had made some bad decisions. And he'd gone out into the world, and the evidence is, and the indications especially are, that he had become involved in some very serious problems. Maybe involved in some very, very bad sins. But now he's come home. And his father said when he was out there, he was in a dead situation. Maybe even from a physical standpoint, the father may have entertained the thought many times, wondering whether or not his son was alive. But now he knows. He's back at home, and he says he's alive again. Let's kill that calf, and let's eat, and let's be merry, and let's have a party. Let's celebrate. Christian people can celebrate in the right way. And then a fourth thing that is indicated in this passage is that the celebration took place with people getting together, sharing with each other. Not only are we to weep with those that weep, but the same verse says we are to rejoice with those that rejoice. And it may very well be, folks, and you may have to think this through for a moment, that it is harder for us to rejoice with one another than it is to weep with one another. It may be that it is harder for us to celebrate with one another and to rejoice with one another, especially when there's been a difficult situation and that is correcting itself or is turning out in the right way. It may be hard sometimes for us to rejoice as we ought to rejoice when good things are happening to other people. But notice in each of these cases, the shepherd called his neighbors and friends together. He said, "Come and let's rejoice." The woman who had lost the coin said to her friends and her neighbors, "Come and rejoice with me." And the indication is that there were several people together rejoicing when the elder son came upon the scene in the story of the prodigal son. There was joy. There was merrymaking. There was the enjoyment of eating together and having people together, friends and neighbors, to celebrate with one another. And there are things we need to celebrate in the work of the Lord. And particularly in this passage that is before us today, we need to celebrate the return of God's people. I went back for a few minutes this past week and picked up the first directory that we had when I moved here and just began to read down through the names that were listed in that directory. And then I picked up the one that we prepared, I guess, about 2 years ago, the latest one that we have, picture directory. And I began to go down through that list and look at the names. These were the ones that were, in some way at least, considered to be a part of this particular part of God's family at those specific times. And as you would imagine, there are several there who've moved out of town and we know are worshiping God and working for Him in some other place. But folks, there are some names listed there that are not anywhere this morning worshiping God. There's some of them that are God's children that are lost in this community. This morning they did not get up to come to Bible study and worship. And they may not be here at all this week. They will not surround the Lord's table to remember the Lord's death till he comes again. We have people in this community, and apparently we have even some across the street that will not get up on Sunday morning and come to worship God, who claim to be God's children. I made the statement this week, and I think it is true, that one of our biggest mission fields is right here with us, and particularly with those who are supposed to be Christians who are not worshiping God and who are not serving God and who are not involved when there is an appeal, when there is a need, who are not ready to do their part. God's children that are lost. I certainly have no criticism for people who put out every effort that they did this past week to try to find those two little boys. And if I'd been where I could have, if you'd been there, we would have done everything we could do. But why is it that we cannot let the fact that God's children are lost touch our heartstrings in the church like something like that? We need to be aware of this and to try to work things where there can be a true celebration. And one of the biggest celebrations that we could have in our work is to be able to bring our own brothers and sisters in our own family and the family of God back to where they are alive again. If that celebration takes place, three things are necessary. One, there has to be a dedicated effort to restore those that have gone astray. I know from one standpoint we can say that person has a responsibility and he knows how to return home. Even in some of these cases we've talked about this morning where the people are a bit older, we could easily say, well, that person knows how to get back home and it's his responsibility to come back home. And it is. It was the prodigal son's responsibility to come to himself and turn around and come back home. That's true. But the same Bible that teaches that teaches that those of us that are at home have a responsibility to be seeking, to go out after, and especially to be ready to welcome and to celebrate when they return home. Brethren, if one of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. Wouldn't you have done most anything that was possible to save a child from death if it had been within your power? Here he's talking about soul. And he says, brethren, we have that responsibility. That's James 5, 19 and 20. And then in Galatians 6, 1, brethren, if one of you do err, or if one is overtaken in a fault, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. How much interest do we have in God's children that are lost? And maybe some of them we don't know exactly where they are, and some of them we know where they are. We know where to go find them. We've just got to put forth more effort than we've ever put before and allow ourselves to feel that tie that binds us in the family of God in the same sense that there's a tie that binds us in our own families. I just cannot imagine hearing today that one of my own children or grandchildren was lost that I wouldn't go immediately to do everything that I could. And yet, though it's a little bit hard for us to see it and accept it, the soul of a brother or sister in Christ, a child of God, is more important than the life, the physical life of those that are so close to me or to you. We've got to put forth more effort. Number two, for there to be the right kind of celebration, there must be sincere repentance and return on the part of those who've gone astray. And somehow or other, we may not be getting this across. How long has it been since you have seen those within the local congregation here be restored? How many times is it easy just to sort of ease back into the pew and not do what God has said? God's word says, repent and pray. Acts 8, confess and pray. James 5, 16. And there's a principle taught over in the Old Testament at Proverbs 28, 13. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall obtain mercy. Confesseth and forsaketh. There is a responsibility on the part of the one who's lost to come home. And there cannot be true celebration until there is true restoration. And there cannot be true restoration until there is repentance and confession and prayer. Sincere repentance and confession and prayer. And so we need to encourage erring Christians to be restored. And we need to realize how important it is today for us to pray one for another. And when there are mistakes that have been made publicly, that they are confessed publicly and true repentance takes place so that there can be the celebration. There needs to be the effort to go out to encourage the lost to come home. There needs to be a sincere return on the part of the lost, and there needs to be complete forgiveness on the part of those that are at home. Complete forgiveness. One of the factors that will determine whether or not this young cancer victim returns home will be whether or not his parents and others can emphasize to him how much they love him and how much they need him and how much they want him at home. That'll be one of the key factors, whether or not that turns out in the right way. And one of the key factors in whether or not you and I have something to celebrate with our erring brothers and sisters is whether or not we convince them that when they sincerely return, we sincerely forgive. And that we're ready to rejoice and we are ready to celebrate when one truly, sincerely returns home and comes back to God. Forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. I think when we realize that when a person truly repents and comes home, that there is a newness involved, that there's a different person involved, that we will be better able to do this and better able to celebrate in the way that we should. Notice two verses in chapter 15 that come right after two of the other verses that we read. We read verse 6 and verse 9, where the shepherd and the woman ask friends and neighbors to come and rejoice. Listen to this. Verse 7, verse 10. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over the one sinner that repenteth, more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Folks, that's saying there's a celebration. There is a celebration in heaven when one of God's children comes home. And there ought to be a celebration on earth. And that can only take place when we put forth the right effort and encourage people to come back with the right attitude and forgive with the right attitude on our part. Alive again, what a celebration. We need to be involved in that. In fact, this morning, I believe that this passage needs to be applied even within our assembly. There may be some of you here who have willfully forsaken your duty to God in one way or another, and maybe in a way that other people know about it. You need to get that right with God. And if you have committed sins that have brought a problem between you and God and between you and the rest of God's family, you need to get that made right this morning. And there needs to be a celebration when you make that right. Not a putting you down, but a celebration when God's children come home. And even when one becomes a child of God and is baptized into Christ to begin that life, there is a celebration at that time. You remember with the Ethiopian eunuch, there was joy involved. With the Philippian jailer, there was joy involved. There is a celebration even at that time in one's life, in one's becoming a Christian. Celebration alive again. We ought to be ready to celebrate when one becomes a child of God, and especially in view of the lesson this morning, when a child of God comes home. If you need to come home this morning, come so that there can be celebration on earth and in heaven as together we stand and sing. God.